All right, welcome everyone. Welcome to the third class in Kegavna, the Inam Asyachtan on the Shabbos, cosmic unity above and below. This is the Shabbos that we see the whole world is being called to keep Shabbos. So by divine providence that we started learning so much about Shabbos the last couple, 2 months. Yeah, maybe this is, we're part of what's influencing. When you learn Torah publicly and you influence, you create vibrations in the world. Suddenly, Shabbos became the talk of the world, of the president, Gewalt. So we're learning this mystical piece of Zohar with the interpretation of the Alter Rebbe, that in many communities is said, majority of the communities, Jewish communities, is said right at the onset of Shabbos. I never read it to you in English, and we're holding a middle of the commentary of it. Let me read the whole passage to you in English. And then we're going to be picking up what we learned last week. So it reads like this. Kegavna, just as the six sefirot, divine attributes, unite above into oneness, so just like there's a higher unity and oneness, so the malchut, kingship, unites below into the mystery of oneness. So as to be with them above, unity paralleling unity. There's a oneness above and a oneness below. And this is what's taking place on Shabbos, that below is also entering into unity. The Holy One, blessed be He, who is one above, does not take His seat upon His throne of glory until she enters into the mystery of oneness. We discussed what that means in the earlier classes, that there is a oneness as it is experienced in the divine realm of Atzilut, which is a purely divine world. Over there, the oneness is called the masculine oneness of Him, of the King. Then there is a lower level of oneness, the feminine oneness, the oneness already that's pronounced in creation. So in creation, you don't really feel the oneness. Creation is more individual, separated, different. Every element in the world and many things are in conflict with each other. And yet, there is a oneness that happens even within creation. And that's called the oneness from below. And that's the oneness of the Shekhinah, the oneness of her oneness, the Malchut, the kingship, the level of kingship of God. Kingship already has to do with an empire. There has to be already all kinds of people and cities and different interests. But yet, instead of it, God forbid, becoming all fragmented, separated, and everybody lives for themselves, the mystery of Shabbos, the beautiful thing of Shabbos is that suddenly all, from all this plural, from all this pluralism, from all this manyness, everything converges into oneness to the best that we are able to attain from our state of consciousness, which is generally a separateness state of consciousness. An egotistical state of consciousness. And we surrender our egos and surrender ourselves all to our unifying energy, which is the Shekhinah, the divine energy that is our source of our existence. And only after there's a certain oneness created on Friday, going into Shabbos below, then the Shekhinah, together with all the worlds, can rise up to receive the unity, which means God Almighty from above will project into her a much deeper oneness, a much deeper singular powerful truth that is way beyond her capacity and definitely way beyond the capacity of creation. And that's the secret of Shabbos, where there is a unity between above and below. It's a time of zivug, a time of intimacy between God and the Shekhinah, which means that the creations are able to enter into the truth of the divine, the oneness of God. I gave a fascinating class just about 2 hours ago, a podcast with my sister, Mrs. Gitti Rappaport, on the theme of Shabbos and oneness and entering into the oneness of Shabbos. Very, very special class. So you can listen to that. It complements our class. And so that's what it says over here. So it says, God is not sitting down on His throne. Him sitting down on the throne we discussed earlier means that Hashem, from above the Shekhinah, from above creation, the oneness that's felt outside of time and space, does not sit down into time and space. That sitting means lowering yourself down. Sit down on his throne is the very, very beginnings of creation, the highest levels of the higher worlds, but they're still already creation. That's the seat of God. God does not sit down, which means to influence his oneness into it, until she did her preparation first, which means the worlds, we need to bring ourselves into a unity to the best we can, and then God will bless us with a much higher unity, with a much higher oneness. That's the idea. To be oneness corresponding to oneness. This, as we have stated, is the esoteric meaning of the words, the Lord is one and his name is one. The Lord is referring to Hashem himself. His name is referring to the Shekhinah and the worlds that are called his name. So his name also becomes one. His name has to become one in order to be able to attach itself to he is one. So that's the secret that happens on Shabbos, a Friday night. And then it continues, Raza de Shabbos, the mystery of Shabbos. What's the mystery of Shabbos? She, Malchut, which Malchut is the attribute of kingship, which is the Shekhinah, is on Shabbos united with the mystery of oneness, so that the supernal mystery of oneness may rest upon her. So last week we learned, this is referring to secretly to the two powers of Shabbos. Shabbos is a female Shabbos and a male Shabbos. So the Friday night Shabbos is female Shabbos, the Shabbos day Shabbos is male Shabbos. And what is the difference? The female Shabbos is the Malchut rising upward. She's coming from in engagement and involvement and investment in the world. She's extracting herself and returning back into becoming unified in her source. Instead of being projected outward into the world, she's gathered up, she's being drawn into the upward. And like we learned last week, that when a person completes doing work, all their projected, invested energies that they project into the work that they're doing, then they let go of those projected energies, and those projected energies return back into their source. And that's what happens Friday nights. God finishes, completes the work, and he goes, ah. And he allows the Shekhinah with all of the creations he inhales. There's a cosmic inhaling. God is inhaling, he's suctioning all of existence back into himself. And that's the idea that she is rising. The Shekhinah rises. That's the feminine Shabbos. And that's the meaning of what it says. She, Malchus and Shabbos, unifies with the mystery of oneness. Because again, when you're going into the singular source, that's oneness. When she's going down into north, east, south, west, into today, tomorrow, yesterday, into this country, that culture, that culture, into this language and into that language, into this whatever, into all the various different interests, and she's enlivening them all the different species and all elements that seems less one. They don't feel the oneness so much. But on Shabbos, she's rising up into the oneness, but this is only a preparation for what happens by day. What happens by day? Because God himself gets tremendous satisfaction of the Shekhinah returning back home into oneness, because this gives Hashem himself an incredible delight. Now his pleasure that he has deep inside himself from this, he projects outward. And that's the meaning. And the worlds are now filled with an opposite energy. It's not an energy of suction. It's an energy of exhaling. He's allowing his energy, his internal, powerful, infinite light, where it's absolutely one and singular, to emerge out and to permeate all of existence with that intense, incredible blessing and light. And that recharges all of creation with a recharge and with an abundance and with a pleasure that is indescribable. And that's the pleasure of Shabbos. It's the day Shabbos, where Hashem is sharing his satisfaction from all the oneness that we have created. And then he's projecting outward. And that's what it says. So that the supernal mystery of oneness may rest upon her. This is him resting upon her. on Shabbos by day after she has risen to him. Difference. This place, now, this is where we're holding now. We are now going to continue the discourse from this point. I'm going to first read the whole piece so that of the Zohar, and then we're going to learn the commentary. This takes place during the Ma'ariv prayer of Shabbat Eve. The evening service, that's mainly where we will see she is rising. For then, the holy throne of glory merges into the mystery of oneness. It's in the Friday night prayer that the throne of glory is rising, which means the first beginning seeds of the French of creation is being inhaled and reabsorbed into the pre-creation state, into the Ein Sof, and is ready for the holy transcendent king to rest upon it. So on Friday, what he described earlier as happening in general Friday night, he's saying specifically it takes place by the Friday night prayer. As Shabbos arrives, now we're going to see soon the way the Alter Rebbe explains, as Shabbos arrives is talking actually a little bit earlier. This is talking by the Mincha service before Shabbos. It's not yet dark. We cannot do the evening service, but we're doing the afternoon service of Friday. Mincha Erev Shabbos. That's called as Shabbos arrives. We begin to untie the knots which have been holding the Shekhinah stuck in the fragmented elements of creation, in the disjointed aspects. As Shabbos arrives, she merges into oneness and is separated from the other side. The Shekhinah goes to take a shower. She goes to wash herself off from all the engagement in the mud, in all the dark stuff of this world that she's been enlivening and sustaining. And obviously it rubs off on her. So she goes to remove herself from the other side. And all strict judgments are severed from her. Because when she gets invested in the world, it causes sometimes aggravation. It causes sometimes judgments in her. She gets constriction. She gets knots. The Shekhinah gets knots. And she has to unknot herself from all these things. So the judgments are removed. And she remains in unity with the holy light and crowns herself with many crowns for the holy king. This is all taking place on Friday by Mincha, where she's preparing herself to rise. Then all powers of wrath and all adversaries flee from her and vanish, and no other power reigns in any of the worlds. There's no power, foreign power, there's nothing. That means that in the weekday, while the Shekhinah is entangled in the web of creation, which includes the dark side, then there are powers that reign in the world that are not holy. There are ugly, evil empires. There are certain dark forces that have stolen power from the Shekhinah. They kind of force the Shekhinah's energy to support them. So, but that doesn't, Friday night, as she exits from them, they all become powerless. Her countenance is irradiated with a supernal light. No, is not irradiated, is irradiated with a supernal light. And she crowns herself here below with the holy people, all of whom are crowned with new souls. So God, the Shekhinah crowns herself together with all the souls of Israel, get crowned on Shabbos Eve. Then the commencement of the prayer is to bless her with joy and radiant countenance. That's the passage of the Zohar. And now to some commentary. Thank God for water. So we begin.
Seemingly water brings all the crowns together.
All the crowns. Reish Nun Dalet, here we go. We're holding now in the, this is the discourse from the Siddur of the Alter Rebbe. This is opposite of page 506 in the Hebrew page. It's Reish Nun Dalet, which is 254. Tzloisa d'malo Shabbato, the evening service. Remember we said that the evening service is the time when she's really being elevated. Das achdas kersaya yakira kadisha, where then it becomes unified, the holy precious throne, beraza the echad, in the secret of oneness. V'istakanas, and she prepares herself, lemishrei Allah, to dwell upon her, to rest upon her, malka kadisha ilah, the holy supernal king. So now he explains. That's the passage of the Zohar. Piddush. Tzloisa d'malo Shabbata. What does it mean? The prayer of the evening of Shabbos. That's when the main aliyah is taking place. The main inhaling is taking place. Haynu b'chinas pnimiyas aliyah shel ha-malchus. The inner elevation of the malchut happens. It's the inner elevation of malchut happens during prayer. How can I explain that a little bit? Shehu dafka b'yichud, we'll see in a minute, shebet tfilas leil Shabbos, which this is primarily in the yichud that happens in the prayer of Friday night. Ki agam, even though shekvar meshekudesh hayoy, even though from when the day becomes sanctified, which means when you light the Shabbos candles, and it becomes Shabbos like we discussed in the Monday night class, the significance of lighting those Shabbos candles. So in this case, there's kind of an entering into oneness that takes place already as soon as Shabbos begins. Especially when it becomes three stars at night, then it's really Shabbos. It's already later after the Shabbos candles are lit. It's already when three stars are out. But yet, the real elevation of Malchus happens only when we pray the prayer of Arvit, the evening service. So us right away miyadzman aliyas amalchus b'pchenes archaizer kanal, as soon as it becomes three stars in the sky, there is the elevation of the malchus is happening and the returning light, as we discussed earlier. Malchus is being returned back into her source. Malchus, being the life force of creation, is returning and to be recharged in its source. K'mashakasa, like it says, vayhi erev vayibay kayoyim hashishi, it was evening, it was morning, the sixth day. And then when the sixth day was over, after the end, the conclusion of the daytime, what happens? As soon as it's no more day of the sixth day, it's no more day of Friday, what happens next? Vayachulu ha-shamayim. Heaven and earth conclude, and God dwell at rest, which means this is this elevation. Vahagam, and he challenges that. This seems, and he's trying to explain that that happens immediately when Shabbos enters. Vahagam, you might challenge and challenge that notion by saying, he says in the parentheses, Shanem avaychal alaykim bayoyim, that God ends everything. Ending over here means expires the energy back into its source. When does that happen? Bayom, only by day. So it would seem like that's only during the daytime. V'chein, it also says the next verse, vayishbos, and he rested, bayom, by day. He says it doesn't mean day to exclude night. It means day when you say which day is your wedding. Usually most weddings are taking place at night, but you still say which day, because day includes day and night. So when it says that Hashem rested on the day of Shabbos, it means the day including the 24 hours. And the same when it says v'achal Elokim, that God ended all the external projections and brought everything back inside. By Yom HaShvi, it says on the seventh day, it means from the beginning of Shabbos, already Friday night. Because nighttime is included in the day. And why is over here the night considered secondary and included in the day? Because what did we say? What happens at night? At night is the inhaling. What happens by day? The exhaling. The whole inhaling is so that Hashem can exhale himself deeper into the world. The purpose is not the inhaling. The purpose is not the withdrawal. The purpose is the permeation of God into creation. Therefore, the rising up is for the sake of the down, which is the daytime Shabbos versus the nighttime. That's why the night is considered part of the day. But that leaves us with the question. When does all of this take place? As soon as Shabbos begins. Yet, what does it say in the passage of the Zohar? Something about the evening service. And what happens if you're only praying the evening service 2 hours after it becomes dark? So he explains. What happens, the elevation that happens on Friday night as soon as it becomes dark, yeah, it's an elevation, but it's an external elevation. But the internal element of the elevation, Mis'ala, is elevated in the evening service. I had a flash of a metaphor for this, or example for this, which he doesn't say it, but maybe, okay, perhaps this would be the explanation. It's like when you come to shul. Just arriving in synagogue, arriving to shul to pray, is already an elevation. You left your home, you left your business, you left all your occupation, and you came to the house of God. So you're elevated. But your mind is not fully elevated. Your mind and your heart is still, you know, with thousands of thoughts, thousand things that we're still attached to and we're busy with. So it's an external elevation. Externally, you brought your body and your beingness into shul. But then you put on your talit, you put it over your head, and you start getting into the prayer. And suddenly you're feeling internally this great love and desire to cleave and to bond with God. So what's happening now, a much deeper elevation, an internal elevation is taking place. The external elevation took place as soon as you drove up the driveway, you came into the shul, you parked your car and you walked into the shul. You already have an external elevation. But internally is the experience that takes place when you're davening with intention and with kavana, and then you're experiencing a desire, a love, an excitement, a fervor, whatever it is, that's an internal elevation into godliness. So the same is also that we're saying regarding the Shekhinah. As soon as it comes dark, there's a shift, a cosmic shift. It's already, all of existence has been elevated already, but not completely internally. Where's the internal complete consciousness on a very deep level of the soul of creation, which is the Shekhinah? When does she utterly dissolve herself into the oneness? That happens when we pray, because prayer is always internal focus. So that could be the explanation. Pidish, this is what it says. Tzloisa d'malish Shabbata, the prayer of the eve of Shabbos, daba, because in her is achadas, becomes unified, kursaya yakira kadisha, the holy precious throne becomes now unified. When? In the prayer. Let him explain why. Pidish, what does that mean? Aliyas ha-malchus, the elevation of the malchus, mikechabad debriya, from the keser chachma binedas abriya. See, Malchut is the last sephira, she's the last attribute from the world of the divine attributes, from the world of Atzilus, from the world of emanation, where there's no creation yet, it's only emanating lights of God. And Malchus is the final and most reduced and most limited. Tonight we started counting the sephira, we started celebrating Malchus. Tonight was the first night of the Malchut attribute. But in any case, Malchus is the final sephira, she's the most limited. And she leaves the world of Atzilus, of emanation, and she enters into the realms of creation. She descends into creation. When she descends into creation, what's her first stop? What's her first welcoming place? Where is she welcomed in? Into the highest creations. The first, most subtle, most luminous creations. Who's... She's descending down and she's being welcomed first.
Does that mean a female, as we know it, is the first to experience creation?
Yes. Yes.
So they're the lowest, also the most corporeal?
And compared to the higher spheres, yeah, she's the most corporeal. And then she descends where into? She descends into the sephirot of the next world, which the sephirot of the next world is considered creation compared to Atzilus, where the Sefirot are utterly divine. So this means that the Shekhinah, the Malchus of Atzilus, settles into the Keser Chachma Bina Das, which are the first four Sefirot of the world of Bria, of the next world, which is called already a world of creation. It's created consciousness, it's not purely divine. But because it is so subtle and so pure and so holy and so nullified to God, it's the container where the Shekhinah can rest. So she rests, and that's called, we discussed it earlier two classes ago, that's called her, that's her throne. That's the throne of the, that's the throne of the Shekhinah. Where does she sit? On the Keser Chachma Bina Das of the next world. So, Piddush. But what happens on Shabbos? That's during the weekday. Shabbos, she retracts and goes back to her source. So that's the meaning. Piddush Am. Lias HaMalchus, where Malchus is elevated, Mikka Chabad, from the Keser Chachma Bina Das of Bria. Shenikra Kersaya Yakira, which is called the holy, precious, the precious, the precious throne, like we said earlier. Now, when she rises, she doesn't leave the Sefirot behind. She welcomes them to come join her in the king's palace. It's like a king, like imagine a prince or a princess who leaves the palace and goes out into the bigger world. She goes to school, she goes to university, she goes to college, she goes, whatever. She goes to seminary somewhere. She meets up with friends. She makes new friends. Then when she gets invited to go back home to her father's home, to the king's palace, sometimes she tells her father, can I bring my friends along with me? And he says, of course. So the princess is coming home with her newfound friends that she found outside, and she's bringing them inside. And they get to go where no other person goes, because they're friends of the princess. So that's the idea. As the Shekhinah now returns back in her journey on Friday night to reunite with the Ein Sof, with her husband, with the divine light that's above creation, with infinity, she brings her entourage along with her. And these are entities that she meets when she goes down into the world. Now she calls forth all these entities and brings them back up with her, back into her source. The oilen, and then they all rise, gamheim, and they too rise, imbchenas amalchus, which with the Shekhinah, with the element of malchus, they are all rising, lipchenas ha'atzilus. She brings her company along with her, and they all rise into ha'atzilus. So she brings the throne along with her, which means these super beings that are the source of all of creation, they too are invited into Shabbos, into the unity of the, into the Ein Sof, into Lios Misachtim, for them to be unified, Bize'er Anpin, in her husband, which is called the Ze'er Anpin, the small face, which means the six divine attributes, which is the masculine element of God. So the Shekhinah now goes back home to meet with him, bringing along her friends, bringing along her throne, Beraza de Echad, into the unity of oneness. What does that mean? What that means is that we as creations also get to ride along with the Shekhinah as she ascends into higher consciousness. We are all invited into that higher consciousness. All the members that belong to the Shekhinah, which are definitely all the souls, all the angelic beings, and all the souls, all take that journey into Shabbos. V'sham ba'atzilus, and there when she arrives in the world of Atzilus. Now we have to understand that when Atzilus and Bria, these are not, even though he uses terms like she's journeying, she's going from place to place, it's not a physical journey. It's a mental journey. It's a consciousness elevation. It's like your people journey. You're going for a journey, like when the people take chveswat, or they sing, or whatever. Anyways, you can go on. You can go on a meditative journey. You can use different ways of going on a journey. Where are you going? You didn't hop into a spaceship and go somewhere. But in your mind, you're being elevated into a deeper consciousness that you haven't felt before. So that's the journey that's taking place on Shabbos, that the Shekhinah is experiencing a certain expansiveness and a mochen de gadlus, which means a broad perspective, a great expanse of truth that she doesn't see during the week, where she sees only oneness, the singular light of God that is infinite and everywhere. And instead of time and space are not blocking for her anymore, she sees just that oneness. And we can go along, and that's what we're learning. Visham ba'atzilus, and over there when she arrives in the world of atzilus, istakonas, what does it continue? It says in the passage that we were reading, it says, after it says the words were, what did we say earlier? After it says, the it says the throne, the holy throne, becomes unified in oneness. V'istakonas, and she prepares herself, l'mishnei Allah, that it should dwell upon her, malka kadisha Allah, the holy king. So what does this mean? V'sham ba'atzilus, and over there in atzilus, istakonas, she gets prepared, oid, ba'aliyah shniya, for a second elevation. That's first, her first elevation is that she exits the time and space elements of the three lower worlds, which is the creation consciousness, and she's coming into divine consciousness, into purely divine consciousness, into the consciousness of Atzilus, of the world of emanation. Now, once she's there, she becomes readied to make even a much greater leap, to be elevated in a much higher elevation. La Mishrei Allah, that will be dwelled upon her, Malka Kadisha Allah, the supernal holy king will dwell upon her. That means her husband will embrace her and share his light, which is way higher than her light. Even when she's in Atzilus, she's considered the tail of the world of Atzilus. She's the last and final attribute, which is the most dimmed, the least Orein Sof is shining in Malchus. Now she goes into, gets... She gets into an embrace. She gets embraced by her husband, which means she's elevated and into his realm, which are the six emotions, which are much higher than the divine attribute of speech. And over here, it's like, it's Ein Sof. Now that she's, and that's the idea, because he will now invite her into his embrace. Piddush, Tekamoisha Bi'alamayla, just like we explained earlier. Shnei Madregis Alalu, these two levels, the Archaizer V'Yashar. The retracting light, which is the Malchus light. Malchus is retracting from below, from creation to God. But we said in the earlier class last week that that is only a preparation that triggers him to project his light outward. And he's projecting downward. So just like we learned earlier that these two energies, one an elevation and the other one a projection. Dahainu mebriya la'atzilus, which means that she is rising from the world of Bria, from the world of creation, to the world of Atzilus, to the world of emanation. Uma Atzilus Labria, and then there is a reciprocating light that he sticks his hand down to her to lift her up, like we find, like we say, Lechadodi Likras Kala. Go, my beloved, towards the bride. She's coming towards him. We're telling Hashem, my beloved, you go greet your bride. He's like a bride. By a chuppah, on a Jewish wedding, the groom stands first under the canopy. Then the bride is walking toward, she's coming towards him. She's going to circle him. But as she's coming, the groom takes a few steps forward to greet her. So that happens like Friday night, the beginning of Shabbos. Hashem is descending to help her up. He goes towards her. But after she's already up, again, there is again this her energy of rising and his energy of influencing her and shining upon her. Like it says, Vayadas Kalashad Asadavka. It says that he saw that all that he made, Hashem is looking down from above. He sees all that God created, which means the Shekhinah created, because the Shekhinah is the most directly interactive with the world, and it becomes good in his eyes, and he's pleased by it, and radiates light to her. Kach yesh ne madregis alalu. So too, on a much higher level, in the world of Atzilus itself, they take another journey. From where? Atzilus is considered a world. Although it is divine attributes, it's still considered a world because you feel attributes. Then there is the emanator of the emanations. And that is the Ein Sof as it is above Atzilus, usually referred to as the lights of Keser, of the crown. Utterly above differentiation, even divine differentiation, even above divine characteristics, just pure infinity. That's the Or Ein Sof that's above Atzilus. So what we're saying is, on Shabbos, creation rises into emanation, and emanation arises into the emanator. Everything is rising, and in both cases, there is both a rising and a projection. In other words, the husband and the wife are both moving towards each other. She is rising to him, he's projecting to her. And that's on two levels, from creation to Atzilus, and then from Atzilus, from the world of emanation, to the emanator, and from the emanator into the world, as it's moving both ways. From the emanator to the emanation, from the emanations, from the world of emanation, lamatzel to the emanator, and when amatzel, and from the emanator, latzilus tatzilus. The hinekse, because it says in the pasuk, Shabbos l'Hashem dafka. It's Shabbos to God Himself. After they've risen, zun ba'atzilus, after he and her rise in the world of Atzilus, after he and her rise in the world of Atzilus, that means going from creation up to Atzilus, this achdas, and it becomes unified, kursayo. You have it? In Reish Nun Dalet. The page is Reish Nun Dalet. See where it says Reish Nun Dalet? Okay, so this the second column. And this is about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 lines from the second bottom of the second column. The line begins with the word B'chinazun ba'atzilus. B'chinaz is the first word in the line. Zun. It's right under the line where you have a 97. Under the footnote 97, that's what we're holding. One line right beneath it. After the Zun rises in Atzilus. And what does it mean, Zun rise? Zun means male and female rise. I would think only the Shekhinah rises. Only he never descended. Yeah, all week long he doesn't descend. But Friday night, before to help her ascend, he steps out. That's what we say, L'chadodi L'kras Kala, he's going towards the bride. That's what I think it means. That since on Friday night, he descended to pick her up. You know, she's coming, so he goes to, he comes with his car to pick her up, to bring her with him. So he descended into Bria too. So now, after they both rise together to Atzilus, now together they rise beyond Atzilus. That's what we're learning. Vis'achadas kursayasham, and the throne has become now unified, b'raza de'achad, in the secret of oneness. Istakonas sham, they now prepare, b'b'chenes halah, to have another elevation. But this time it's a journey and an elevation exponentially greater than what was before. L'kabel b'chenes hamshacha, to receive a higher projection, l'mishrei halah, to dwell upon them, Milmaila Lamata, from up down, Mipchinas Oirein Sof, from the infinite light, Hameir Ba'aba, that is shining in Chachma. The Oirein Sof that is shining in Chachma. Chachma is the first of the ten Sfirot, and it's the lights that shine in Chachma are spectacular. Those lights that are shining in Chachma are now going to be shining down to the Ze'er Anpin, to the six emotions, and into Malchus, to both of them. And that's which the Chachma of Atzilus is called Malka Kadisha Ilah, the Holy Supernal King. Why? Because we were learning till now that the Ze'er Anpin is called the king. The six emotions are called a king. The male six emotions. Now we're saying Chachma is called a king. The answer is depends what we say. If we say Malka, Yakira, or the precious king, or Malka, that is, or Malki La, the supernal king, it's all referring to, there's an Eramp in the six emotions. But when we say Malka Kadisha Yakira, the holy king, holiness means what is utterly removed from creation completely. And that's only Chachma. Because Chachma receives the light of God as it is purely infinite and not in any way containable in vessels. Only Chachma is a place where the Ein Sof himself can manifest. So therefore Chachma is called Malka Kadisha Ilah, the higher holy king, and his light will now shine upon her. So it's more than, it's almost like two levels in her husband. The lower level of her husband is the Ze'er Anpin shining upon her, the six emotions shining upon her, and deeper than that, the lights of Chachma on our shining onto Malchus. Ki Yadua, the Pidish Malchus, Tam, regular king, that is the Ze'er Anpin, Shenikra Melech, who's called the king. But when it's coming from a much deeper place, from the Mochin, from the of Abba of Chachma, Nikra Malka Kadisha, it's called the Holy King. Ki Yadu, as it is known, Shekadesh b'Chachma, that Kadesh is in Chachma. Kodesh is in Chachma. We say Shabbos Kodesh. Why do we call Shabbos Kodesh? Because Shabbos, the lights of Chachma are radiating. Leviim are called Tahara. They're pure. It says v'taharta isam, you should purify them. By the Kohen, it says v'kidashta isa, you should make them holy. So it explains, what's the difference? The Levites don't have holiness, they have purity. Purity you can have when you have the perspective of Bina, when you're living in holy Bina, in holy understanding, you're pure. But not holy. To be really holy is only when there's a revelation of Chachma, and that's what the Kohen's neshama has. The Kohen is a vessel for the lights of Chachma to shine. I'm just using that as an example. Shabbos, for example, it's also the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. All the three pilgrimage holidays, the Yom Tovim, their energy is from Bina, not from Chachma. Shabbos is holier than the Yom Tov. That's why on Yom Tov we're allowed to cook, we're allowed to do certain malacha, but on Shabbos you can't do any work. Because Shabbos is a greater holiness. Because Shabbos is Chachma. Chachma is called Kodesh. So when it says over here, Malka Kadisha, it means the lights of Chachma are shining upon her. And that is beyond. Ubchinas Oyer Abba Ba'atzmai, and the light of Abba itself, Nikra, Malka Kadisha Ilah, is called the Holy Supernal King. Liyoist, and that is because Ki Achachma Nikra Reishis Atzilus. That is because the Chachma is called the beginning of the world of Atzilus, the beginning of the world of emanation. And because it's the beginning, it's in direct contact with Ein Sof. V'nikra v'nivdal b'maylas gili or Ein Sof. And it is separated in the quality of the revelation of the Ein Sof. That means that what shines in Chachma is not contained in any other sphera. The lower sephirot are very vague translations of the light of Chachma. What is shining in Chachma, you can't explain. Chachma really receives the... Bless you. The Chachma is really receiving the light in its unadulterated form, in its purity, the Ein Sof. And that's why it's called separated, because no other level receives it on such a purity, on such a level. It reveals itself more in Chachma than from all the attributes. Like it says openly in the verse, Hashem b'chachma, Havaya, which is over here is referring to the Ein Sof, is where does he dwell? In Chachma, in wisdom. Stated elsewhere. Now, he just said that all the lower sephirot, the male sephirot and the female sephirot, the six masculine sephirot and the female sephirot, which is Malchus, all of them are now receiving the lights of Chachma. So if so, it should say, I'm not exactly in Aramaic. V'istaknu would mean they become prepared to receive this higher light. But it doesn't say v'istaknu. It says v'istakanas. She becomes prepared. She gets readied to receive this great light. Why her? If it's coming to him as well. Because he's also now illuminated with this great light. What we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now blown away by the lights of Chachma that are coming into him and into her as well. Nu, so why are we ignoring him and just focusing on her? Istakanas. Istakanas Lashon Nukvo is only in the feminine. Fisha Bechinas HaMalchus Iker Sharsha. It's because it's precisely Malchus, the Shekhinah, who's really rooted in Chachma. So she has a greater connection to that higher light even than her husband. Because the root of speech is in Chachma more than the emotions. Lefisha, b'chinas ha-malchus, ikar sharsha ba'or ha-chachma. Her main light, her main root is in the lights of Chachma. Ki yadu, as it is known, as the Zohar says, Abba yased brata, that the father is the foundation of the daughter. What that means is there's Chachma is called father, Bina is called mother. Then there is son and there is daughter. The six emotions are son and Malchus is the daughter. What we're saying is that Chachma, which is the father, has a deeper connection with his daughter than he has with his son. And that's why we find in the world general that dads and daughters have a very deep bond. He's sometimes deeper than them and their sons. Mother and son has a deep connection. It's a crossover. The mom loves her boys and the father loves his daughters. There are exceptions, obviously, and you love all your children, but there's just a certain depth in the bond, and that has to do because in the supernal world is that way. Chachma has a deeper connection to Malchus, and Bina has a deeper connection to the Ze'er Anpin. So since we're talking about over here, L'mishlar La, to dwell upon it, Malka Kadishi La, we emphasize her more than him. Kidu Ad Abi Yasid Brad V'Aderech Mashal Shoyrish Metzias Adibur. And in our world, it means that the ability to speak shu b'chachma davka, that is in chachma. That's why a child can feel powerful emotions and not talk. He can have emotions and not talk because speech takes longer to develop because you have to open a path to the chachma element. The bina is starting by the child earlier, and therefore the emotions can be earlier, but he can't talk. He or she can't talk. Because speech, which is Malchus, is related in Chachma. Kamashikasmakamachar is stated elsewhere with Dai Lamev. Okay. Now, so we know, okay, this is happening Friday night. Now the Zohar continues and the Zohar says, but you know what? There is a preparation for this that takes place even before Friday night, Friday afternoon. Friday late afternoon, there is a huge disengagement and a cleansing process that's taking place in the entire cosmic order to enable this elevation afterwards to happen on Friday night. So the Shabbos, you have to prepare Friday afternoon. That's why physically down here we're supposed to shower and men go to the mikvah to prepare for Shabbos. And that showering has a very deep meaning because you're showering away the dirt and the filth of the week, which is reminiscent of the Shekhinah also removing from herself all the parasites that have latched themselves onto her during the week, the klipas that are receiving energy from her during the week. She's not invited until she disinfects and delices, if you say, from all these dark stuff that are here. She's not allowed into, she's from what she has to debug from all the, from whatever is taking place in order for her to rise. And that's what it says over here. Kad ayal Shabbato, that when Shabbos is entering, so the Alter Rebbe is going to explain. Kad ayal Shabbato means when Shabbos is about to come. This is before Shabbos is here. It's when Shabbos is about to come. Is yachadas, she separates visparshas and she becomes removed mesitra achra from the other side. V'chol dinin and all judgments misabrimina are washed away from her. She all her knots, all her tension, because by dealing with all the stuff of time and space and the world, she gets knotted and constricted and she has anxiety and she needs to like loosen up. She needs a good kvetch, and to remove the knots and the constrictions that are in the Shekhinah to allow her, and the same as all of our souls, we have to. So Shabbos must be, before Shabbos, you need to mindfully disconnect. It's not good to be with your phone seconds before Shabbos. You have to start already before Shabbos to create a little space for the holiness of Shabbos. Piddish, what does that mean? Kad Ayil Shabbat, when Shabbos begins to come, Zakoidim Yitzias Gimel Kachavim Beinim. This is before the three stars come out. Shenikra B'chenes Tosefes Shabbos. This is the period of time that's called the addition of Shabbos. We know that we're supposed to add. Let's say, for example, women light Shabbos candles 18 minutes before. That's a very important time. V'hu Inyan, and this is the idea of Tefillas HaMincha Be'er Shabbos. In general, this is also the idea of the Mincha prayer, which we daven in Erev Shabbos. And we know that the Baal Shem Tov, for instance, would daven Mincha Erev Shabbos for hours upon hours. And he would be elevating all the souls of the Jewish people. He would be washing every neshama. And preparing he would be preparing the whole world to enter into Shabbos. So Lamaila and above, Dibra Be'etzem Aliyas HaMalchus. Earlier in the Zohar, we spoke about Malchus being elevated. That happens Friday night. But here we're talking about the pre-elevation, what needs to be done to allow for this elevation. Shehu B'tzlai said the Mala Shabbat Davka Kanal. The elevation itself of the Shekhinah happens by the Friday night prayer, by Ma'ariv, when we do Kabbalah Shabbos and Ma'ariv. But now he explains, in the preparation that needs to be before the essence of the elevation, the addition of Shabbos, which is the root of Tfilas Mincha of Erev Shabbos. The Gemara says, Rav Tzali, Rav would daven. I didn't look up the Gemara, so I don't know what it says about Rav, but it seems to be saying that Rav did something, a special davening on Erev Shabbos. Oh, it says, Rav Tzali Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. Rav would already daven Friday night davening on Erev Shabbos. So you see that there's already some kind of, even before Shabbos comes, there is some kind of a pre-Shabbos entity. Shahaya Magdimim Zmama, they would daven early, Lifnei Knesis HaShabbos, before Shabbos really enters Begimel Kechavim with the three stars, they would already start, they would do the Shabbos davening. And why was that? Ve'inyan Shaltais HaShabbos, and what does this mean to adding on Shabbos? Yuvan Adarach Mashal will be understood by way of analogy. Mi Sharoitze Likoneis El Heichal HaMelech Pnima. If someone wants to enter into the palace of the king inside, when one wants to go into the king, you need to prepare yourself. You got to take time. You can't just walk in dirty and oily and greasy from working in an auto mechanic shop. Can't come in like that. Got to prepare yourself. And what's the preparation? Number one, you got to get dressed like a mensch. Got to change your clothing, befitting to walk into. I saw this article this week. I don't even know why I read it. It was a pure waste of time, but it caught my attention, so I read it. Maybe because of that, for the mimer. I was looking at the news, and I saw that someone wrote an article about the stare, the eyes of Queen Elizabeth, who died last year. So they say, she's the sweetest lady. But they said everybody in the palace was, Buckingham Palace, was terrified. She had an icy stare. And she would never have to raise her voice or anything. If she was displeased with something, she would stare and you would die from that stare. The royal stare of displeasure. So one of the stories they say that when she was invited to New Zealand and she was told that it's going to be a very, very beautiful affair and that she should really dress up. So she dressed up with all of her jewels and everything. She came really they notified the palace that this would be a very black tie affair. Meanwhile, the president of New Zealand, he came to greet her and he was wearing trousers as opposed to, I don't know, whatever, maybe the tuxedo, I don't know what they wear, whatever. And she gave him the stare, like I remember the stare. In other words, when you're coming to see the king, royal, and you're not dressed, like, blah, blah. So, I mean, these are kings today that don't have power, the real power, like kings in the past. But this was getting to real hot, into real trouble when it was. So he's bringing it over here. This is the achana. This is the preparation. B'tikun malbushim, in the preparation of the garments. Lahafshit begadim agruim, to remove the mediocre clothing. V'lubush begadim yakarim, or remove the average clothing, and put on expensive clothing, clothing that show honor and respect. V'gam, and then also l'sakana begadim. You also have to, already if you have nice clothing, but you still have to iron them, and see them that they should be like really. There shouldn't be any stain or anything like that when you're coming into the palace. The imlay came, because if you won't do that, yischai ben nafshoi, one is going to be warrant to be punished by the king. Even with life, with their life, because they disrespected the king. V'gam be'vadov, and also in their limbs, tzarech achana. That means you have to put yourself together. You have to stand, not hunched, and this, and slash, and slot. What is it called? Slouch. And not slouched when you're standing in front of the king. Stand upright, stand like a mensch. So yeah, tzarech achana shlo yikom oishu, but basically you should not be like you're in your house. Okay, yaitse b'zat, and the like. So externally, the garments, and also learn how to stand in front of a king. I watched also, I'm sorry, I've been watching too much. I have to come at night. I'm so tired. I sit there and I watch before I have to wind down. So I watched last night Trump in China, and the parades that they made for him. It's great. You got to watch. It's cool to watch. It's like him and Xi, they're going around everywhere, and there's like, wow. Just the way the parades and just the way the soldier walks and poof, and he pulls the sword, and it's awesome. So, but this is what we're learning over there. This will be understood by in the analogy. Before the Malchus is able to rise from Bria, the Shekhinah is able to rise from the creation to Atzilus, she's got to go get herself prepared. So when it gets dark, when is she going to rise all the way in Atzilus? When it gets dark and the three stars go out, then she's already going up into that higher world. But she needs a little time, prep time, a preparation, which is necessary before this elevation. Since you cannot compare at all between Bria, the creation, and Atzilus, and the world of emanation, you're entering into a place of where God is light, where Hashem is really manifesting. So she needs to be really refined to be in that state. Because in Atzilus, he and his emanations are one. It means the Ein Sof is one with everything in Atzilus. Kenes Kaliyah, like we said before. It can know then, it can do it as it is also known, the Yesh Masach Mafsik, Ben Atzilus LeBriya. It is also known there is a partition that separates between Atzilus and Bria. There's a great barrier wall between the two. V'inyan Achan, as I said, what does it mean? What does it mean psychologically? Shekhinah, what kind of clothing is she wearing? We're talking about very, very high level spirituality. So what do we mean over here? That she needs to change her clothing. What's this? It means she needs to remove first her weekday garments. What does it mean, her weekday garments? By the way, it says in Kabbalah, you have to be very, very careful not to wear weekday clothing on Shabbos. Tzadikim were careful not to even have the same pair of socks. Nothing, it says in Arizal, that not one article that you wear during the week should you wear on Shabbos. It's hard, let's say me, I wear white shirts all the time. but make sure that I don't use ever that same white shirt. It's a different one, Shabbos ones and weekday ones. Why? We know why here. Because if you walk in with a weekday clothing, you're not elevated into Shabbos. You cannot. They're not letting you in. You have to mamish have a complete different set of clothing. Everything. Different shoes, different. Everything needs to be new on. You're special designated for Shabbos. The Arizal says that even if you use it one time in the week, you shouldn't wear it ever again on Shabbos. Unless it's for a wedding of your child, like certain things that are, but you're supposed to wear Shabbos thing of clothing in the week. But otherwise, it's considered now weekday already, and it's a problem. I think it was Rabbi Shlomo Carlina that was once upset that he's not feeling Shabbos. And then he checked and he realized that by mistake he put in a weekday sock. And the sock was holding him down. It's amazing. Shabbos clothing. But because this is all coming from the higher element. The Shekhinah, the Malchus, she dresses herself during the week. Ba'ayin Sarim. She invests herself in the 70 ministering angels that are the source of the 70 nations. And she's invested in them during the week, giving them life. Shabbos, she has to divest from that. And that means removing those clothing. Denoga of the klipa, of the glowing shell, the biya of the three lower worlds, where she, during the week, she's invested in and enlivening them. On Shabbos, she has to remove those garments. Shenikra levush kadrus v'sak. It's called cheap clothing. The Shekhinah is wearing jeans during the week. She can't walk in to meet her husband as a princess or as the queen in such clothing. She's not wearing denim when she's coming to Atzilus. So she has to remove what's called levush kadrus, a dark garment with sack and sack clothing. Like it says, al b'shamayim kadrus. There's a verse that says, I will dress the heavens in kadros, or dark black cloth things. The sack and the sackcloth, asim I will put ksus on their garment. And like it also says, when the Shekhinah goes out of exile, it says, mize bome Edom, who is the one who's coming back from Edom, chamutz begodim, with blood-splattered clothing. It means during the time of exile, God is getting dirty, so to speak, his garments, from the wars that he's fighting with the darkness. As the sages say, Edom, when Israel goes to the exile of Edom, Shekhinah Yimam, the Shekhinah comes along with them. So wherever we go, the Shekhinah comes along. And the Shekhinah then, therefore, is also enclosed in these enclosements. So that's the first preparation. First preparation is removing the weekday clothing. And the second preparation is donning Shabbos clothing, dressing yourself in Shabbos clothing. And afterwards, she will enclose herself in supernal garments, hanikra bigdei Shabbos, that are called the garments of Shabbos. And as it says, afshitas milavusha, she undresses her garments. When she calls them makam achar, as stated elsewhere, bir zeh barichus, as this is explained at great length. And then, when it comes mincha time of Erev Shabbos, hu ikar achana. So this is even before mincha. This is getting dressed. And then, when you daven mincha, you're already in your Shabbos clothing. And there, it's already a deeper preparation. What did we say earlier? Before you go into a king, you have to have your clothing right, but you also have to straighten out your body. You have to stand correctly. So mincha time is the time when she fixes herself up, not her garments. It's a deeper type of a adjustment. She's making a deeper adjustment. Now she's doing a more pnimius, a more internal type of a preparation. This preparation is in the vessels themselves of the 10 sfirot of the world of Bria. They need to be polished a little. Before we were talking about the external garments, these are the the klipot that go, that are, she has to shake herself off on that. Now we're talking about even what's good needs an extra shine, needs an extra polish. Like the example of someone who has to come into to the palace of the king. She is sakane varav, you gotta straighten out your limbs. The ikara tikkun, and the main tikkun. And what is the main preparation? The main preparation is to remove every dirt. That means you can have dirt on your face as well. Dirt on your hands. Remove all that. So it's a certain tshuva, that's the point. It's when we're davening mincha on Erev Shabbos, we have to scan ourselves and think, hey, is there any washing I still need to do? Shehub chenes gevudas kashas and achazim b'malchus. What is this filth? How can the Shekhinah get filthy? God forbid. But it is, these are these harsh gevurot, harsh energies that get anachazim, they take a hold, b'malchus and malchus, mipsoiles ha-gevurois, from the residue of these gevurois, the nochash ha-kadmoini of the primordial snake. Some dark stuff that get sometimes smeared onto the Shekhinah. V'zeu sha'amar, and this is what it says in the Zohar, kad ayil shabbata, that when Shabbos is just coming in, which is Friday, it's ayin aloimar, meaning to say, koidim shetikonis leil Shabbos, even before the evening of Shabbos comes in, b'yitzias gimel kachavim, when the three stars come out. Ihi, she, p'chenas ha-malchus, the element of malchus, is yachadas, she becomes unified, v'isparshas, and she becomes separated, m'sitra achra, from the other side. Now's the time that she becomes removed, she removes herself from the other side, from the forces of unholiness. Pidus, she'mis yachadas, t'chilu v'p'chenas yichudanal. First, she unifies herself. First, she needs to bring her family together. First, she needs to unify all of her, all elements of her, to be connected to her, and then she shakes herself off from the externalities. After she separates from the sitra achron, there is a cleansing that now takes place. To remove any bit of bad, hanidvak beivadim v'levushin, that becomes cleaved to her limbs or to her garments. But we're saying over here, it says two things. It says kadayil shabata, ihi hisyachadas, she unifies v'isparshas mesitrach, and get separated. So the separation we discussed, removing the filth, straightening out, we got that. What does it mean, yachadas, that she has to unify before she even removes the klipas, she has to unify? What does that mean? So he explains over here. What is this idea of this yichud, of this yachadas, this unity? She's not unifying yet with her husband. So where she's unifying? She's unifying with herself. So what does that mean? And why now? Even al derech mashal, this will be understood by way of analogy. If someone wants to come in to the chamber of the king, and he is a ish nichbad, a very honorable person, sar gadol, a very great minister. Mikol anshe medinose kula, from all the people in his province, he is like the highest official. Kamaisar atzava, like a general, 5-star general, a kadaima. Ukayotze. Hinekasha roitzim kulam likanez gamken elamelech pnima. When all of them want to come to the house, meaning all other people that are seeking to have an audience with the king. But they're very scared. They're very terrified. From the great exaltedness of the king. So first they got to come to the minister that's considered the highest official. They come to that person's house. They become connected. They attach themselves by him and they hang out by him. By that kind of like conditions them to be able to accompany him later to the palace. You know, they're not ready to go directly into the palace before they get a... it's hard for me to speak about kings because I don't know much about kings. And we don't relate so much about kings that say that all the people that want to go see the king, they first have to go see the great general and hang out by him in the house. But I can understand that a little bit more by the Hasidim of the past. Before they would travel to the Rebbe in Lubavitch, let's say, before they came to the Tzemach Tzedek, or they came to the Min, they would first go soak up by an old Hasid. They would spend a few months by this elderly Hasid training and learning and seeing how he davens and how he learns, and that would refine them. And then when the elderly chassid would travel to Lubavitch, they would come along. Example, because they're too coarse; they just don't have a sensey. They don't even have the sensitivity to go into the Rebbe. They don't even know what that means. But by watching a minister, a higher caliber chassid, there's a lot of stories like that. The Friedrich Rebbe says. Chassidim went and sat by another chassid's house, and they attended to him, and they sat there for months till he rubbed off on them. And then that kind of acclimated them to have some kind of a preparation that now they can come into the room. And he can take them to a whole new place. So this is kind of the idea of it. You got to first go to the minister and rub off from him, and then you'll go to the king. Leimar to say to him, Lecha itanu, you come with us. Va'ata tovei osanu, and you will bring us. Imcha beheichel melech, you're going to bring us with you to the chamber of the king. V'kula nachazem, by they all become attached to him. V'holchem al yaldei, and they go together with him. V'hu yevim lefnei ha-melech b'vayi elev, and he will bring them in front of the king when he is coming to him. V'al shamoi tikra v'azu, and this is called on him. This, in other words, it's when they say who came to the king, they say General So came. And everybody else who went along, but they who came? General So, whatever. Meshakulam Nachlalam, because they're all incorporated in him. They're all like part of his thing. And because the king sees him as an important person, Yakablam Amelach, the king will receive them all, Ba'adis Panam Gamkin, with a radiant face, because he's radiating to him, and they're kind of the king, they're his general's people. You look, let's go back to Chi and Trump yesterday. You saw it on the thing. It's once the two meet, the two big, you know, the heads of state meet. Then each one of them introduced the other one to all of his cabinet members. So they go over. So once the excitement is to go see the American in China, the excitement is to have the American president there. But so now say hi. They all lined up. And they're all like coming along. I saw Elon Musk there too. They're all like kind of Trump's team. And the same is the opposite. The Trump goes and the president of China brings him to all of his team and all of his people. So somewhat similar to this idea over here, that there is the king will extend a gracious radiance to all of them, not because he's interested in them, but because they're part of his ministers that he holds in high regard, part of his people. They're his office staff. They're his people. That radiance that he's shining to the great minister will also include them. But if they would come alone without the minister, he wouldn't look at them at all. Who are you? Why should he even pay attention? You work with him. Yeah. That draws the king's attention. It's understood. If the small ministers would not attach themselves, Besara Godel and the great minister, Viskalalu Samboy, and become identified with him, become incorporated in the great minister, Loyoya Oilen Baluya Zois Shailu, they would never ascend, they would stay outside. They would never be brought in to the Oval Office. They would never be brought into the throne room. The same is also understood above. The six emotional attributes of God that is manifesting in the world of Bria, which is not Atzilus, which is the world of Bria, the world of creation. That level is called, as a name, he's called Malach Metatrel, the angel Metat. The angel Memtes Tes, or something spelled Metatron. The angel is the manifestation, really, of these six spherot in the world of Bria, which is, you can't say on it, it's utterly divine. It's like an angel. It's an angelic consciousness. But it's the most important minister of the entire cosmic order, from Bria, from the entire creation. Most important official. When Nikra Sar HaGadol, he's called the great minister. Hakoidel Kola Olamos, and he includes all the worlds. They're all under his jurisdiction. Kamay Menazal, as the sages say, Narayisi Gamzaganti. I was a youth, I've also become old. So the sages say, this is the minister of the world, says that. Who's the minister of the world? That's Malach Metatra, and he's called the minister of the world. He's the administrator. Because through that angel, God enlivens all the worlds. Right? Sorry, Shal Olam Oimru, the minister of the world says, Vakula. So, when all the little detailed elements in creation want to come up in front of the king on Shabbos, they first need to go and incorporate themselves in the big minister. And then when he's going to be go up, they're going along. Vakulam Olam Mesyachtam Baitchila. First, they all become unified with him, Beyichud Vizkalulus, with a unity and an integration. And then when he rises, beklolam yachad, incorporating them all, imchenas hamalchus shenikra kavod. So what's happening over here is like this. There has to be a general energy of unifying on Erev Shabbos. We discussed this 2 weeks ago or last week. I said that there is a very big evil inclination to try to make fights in Jewish homes on Fridays. There's a lot of tension, people are rushing, and it says you gotta be so careful. Friday, you have to be in a state of unity. In the home of the holy Rebbe Lemelech of Lizensk, the great Tzaddik Rebbe Lemelech, they had a custom, and he had a big household, because they had a household and there were some people working there. He took in a lot of orphans. And the orphans they were like doing house chores. They would help out in the house. And every Erev Shabbos, everybody would ask forgiveness from each other. It was like Erev Yom Kippur. Everybody would ask forgiveness. And not only that, they would have a special dance where they would go over and under, and each would submit to the other. They were like, Shabbos is coming, and they would submit themselves. It's like there's a special dance called whatever. It's an interesting dance with them. So they would do this in the Rebbe Melech's house before Shabbos, which was all about the creating this atmosphere of unity. Atmosphere of unity. So this is what we're learning over here. There has to be an atmosphere of unity that all the little entities have to like converge onto the more general power. And he is the chief minister of the Shekhinah, of her. And then when she rises, she takes him along with her, together with all the little guys. And that's what we talk about, Iyas Yachadas. The first has to be this unification of all the outer details of existence to unify. And when they rise up, so the Malach Metatron then rises, Im B'chinas HaMalchus, with the Shechina, Shenikra Kavod Tata, Kavod, that's called Kavod, Mebriya La'atzilus, from Bria to the world of Atzilus, Kenes Kalel, like we said earlier. The Im Lo'ya Mesachtan Tchilan, if they were not unified first, by and him, they wouldn't elevate at all. The yichud zeh koydim sheyichnes asar, who, and this yichud, when do we do it? Before the minister goes in. After he's in already, you can't go unify with him. You have to catch him while he's still home, and then you connect him. K'mavu b'mashal nal shematchil in the beginning tzrichin kulam leschaber bebeis asar. First, they all have to join together in the house of the minister. And this is what it means over here. It says she becomes unified first. Bevav ktav is the bria, in the six attributes or the six directions of the world of creation. Shenikra shei shemar les lakisi, which are called the six steps of the throne. It's not even the throne yet. It's the because remember we said the throne is the keser chachma bina das of bria. That's the throne. The chesed gavura teferes netzach hod yisod, they're the steps to the throne. But those steps have to unify and become like one. All the worlds have to become included. Balas man, in this raising of feminine waters, betachlas ayichud, and the raising of feminine waters means surrendering to the unity. Betachlas ayichud, in the epitome of oneness. V'chol zeh betchilas amincha de erev Shabbos, and all of this happens by mincha prayer of erev Shabbos. Shehu's man ma koydim shekidesh ayayim. This is a little bit earlier, before the day becomes holy, mishatach shach, after dark. And this is called the added time that we add on to Shabbos to do these preparations. And afterwards, when they're already all included in the Malchus, in the element of kingship, they're totally one with her. Then Dafka is Parshas Mesitra Achra. Then she has to shake herself off from the Sitra Achra, disinfect from anything that has been clamped itself onto her. This is the tikkun in her essence. If she wants to come into Shabbos, the Shekhinah, she has to let go of her grievances. Why Yankel didn't daven so well, and why this one, that she can't enter into the Ein Sof if she's walking in there all rallied up about someone said Lashon Hara, or someone did this in this world, and then she's aggravated. She gets aggravated because she's engaged in the world, and when people are not behaving well, but she can't come into, and that's why we have to drop our resentments, and we have to leave go of all the knots that we have during the week in order to enter Shabbos. In other words, even though he's talking over in a cosmic way, we have to recognize that this is all in the macro and in the micro. So we need a clean, and we also can't bring into Shabbos like harping about something that someone upset us during the week, because you're bringing your knots into Shabbos and it doesn't work. You can't bring the judgments in. You have to come into Shabbos joyful, without any upsetness of anybody, of anything, and free. That are attached themselves to her vessels and her garments, like we used in the example above. But before they all gather into her, you're not going to make it this tikkun. Why? Well, very simple. If they're all going to come, and if she's going to clean herself before, and then all her pieces are going to come and join her, all the constituents are going to come join her, they're going to bring the mud back in. So first she has to have them all unified, they're all together with her. Then together they can shake themselves off from it. Or else, what is it going to help if she wipes herself off from everything, and then later they all come, and they all come with their stuff, with their baggage. That's going to bring the bag, it's going to bring the contamination right back in. So we have to first come together, even if you're not perfect yet, even if you have stuff, just come, just go into the unity. Then we'll all cleanse and we'll enter into Shabbos. They all first have to gather together in the house of the minister, the general of the army. Then they will prepare themselves. Then they're all going to practice how to stand straight and how to be, you know, walk with the right posture and then to go into the king's palace. This is what it says, Kad Ayil Shabbat, when Shabbos is coming. Shubim Mincha, the Erev Shabbos Dafka. Shenikra, Tosef Shabbos, it's the Mincha of Erev Shabbos that's called the Tosefes Shabbos, the addition of Shabbos. Is Yachadas, there is unity. V'achach is Parshas, and afterwards she separates Mesitra Achra from the other side. V'chol Dinin Misabrimina, and all the judgments are removed from her. And after she's able to enter, the lalois, and to rise, mibriya, from creation, latzilos, tatzilos, like stated, soon, the dialamaven is enough to those who understand. And then the Zohar says, after she separates herself from this Sitra Achra, what happens? V'iyi ishta'aras, and she remains, after all these judgments leave her, she remains b'yichuda, in the unity, d'nehira kadisha, of the holy radiance. This atras, and she crowns herself, b'kama itrin, in many crowns, l'gaba malka kadisha, towards the holy king. Now she can fully dress herself in Shabbos and get ready for that great revelation. V'yishta adas explains, what does this mean? B'yichuda d'nehira kadisha. Pidish. Achar b'chenes teisefa Shabbos. Hanal, after the addition of Shabbos that we said earlier, shekvar nisakna b'chol advarim atzrichim, she's already gotten prepared with everything that's necessary, da'ayinu b'tikon ha'kelim, which means the rectification of her vessels, v'alavushim, and the garments, v'chol dinin kashim is'abdimino, and all the harsh judgments become removed from her, azay then ishta'adas b'yichuda d'nehira kadisha, she remains in the unity of the holy radiance. Piddish, the meaning is Nehiru, Haina Bchinas Oira Chachma. The Nehiru means the radiance of Chachma, B'chol Makam, in every place. Whenever it says the radiance, whenever it says radiance, light, it's the light of Chachma. So she becomes radiant with the lights of Chachma. Ki Achachma Nikra Or, because Chachma is called light. Mashikasa Bezoir Al Pasaki He Or, when the Zohar says on the verse, let there be light, it means let there be Chachma. Akamai Meir Ene Chachamim, or like the sages say that He illuminates the eyes of the wise. So what does it mean? So you see, by giving them more wisdom, that's an illumination. V'hini yadua, it is known, the chachma nikra koachma. It is known that chachma is called the power of humility. The power of what? Koachma, power. Al shem b'chinas habitl sheyesh b'chachma. Because in chachma there is very great self-effacement. Very... And as we learned, that itself is the reason that we learned today in the discourse earlier, that the Or Ein Sof only shines in Chachma. That's why we said Chachma is called holy, because in Chachma shines a otherworldly light. Why? Why did Chachma not anything? Because only Chachma is able to surrender herself completely. Everybody else, every other level, retains somewhat of somethingness, and it's blocking the light. Only complete the Bittul and self-effacement allows the light to come through. So therefore, Chachma is the epitome of Bittul. And who's the level of Chachma? Moshe. And we know Moses, out of all people, was the most humble of all. Moshe Alav HaShalom Sha'amar. And he says, V'nachnu Ma, we are what? Because he's in the level of Ma, of Chachma. Achini yesh beiz madrego, b'chines ha-Bittul. But there are two levels in Bittul, two levels in nullification. One level of bittul is that you're nullifying yourself from arrogance, from being self-important. That's one level of nullification. The Ainu Kashem is batal rakbchinas ispasha shalai, and it means that you are removing a person's own expansion of self. I am, I want, I need, I am this, I am that. That's the expansion of self. And the bittul over here is, take it easy. Recognize there's something much more important than you right now, and lose yourself to that. Be awed by the greatness. It's not a time now of I am and I want and I need. You're standing in front of God. Maybe you should listen to what He wants. So that's called bittul, but it's an external bittul. Initially, the person felt his or herself very much separated from God. Begasus, with coarseness. Hepecha bittul, the opposite of nullification. And now you nullify. But then there's a much deeper bittul, b'chinas bittul atzmi, an essential nullification. So much so that you lose all consciousness of self, to the point you don't even know you exist. You're so overwhelmed by something that is so powerful that now you're not restraining yourself from expressing yourself. You don't even know that you're so stunned and overwhelmed by something that you forgot that you're there. Rav loy bit la yesh b'lvat. Not the nullification of the ego. Elu beheder agashas atzmusa. You don't feel yourself. Mikol v'kol. How? You don't feel yourself at all. Kamai. Hanichnas behechel melech pnima. It's like someone walks in inside the king, in front of the king. Shem is batal mekol atzmusa. You become nullified completely in the power and the awe of the king himself. Achanishat. Sometimes a person becomes so overwhelmed by the presence of the power of the king that the person becomes ke'even doimeim, like a muted stone. And they can't move. Gam b'machshav, even in thought. Even the thought stops racing. It just becomes silent. Now, it's possible when you're coming closer to the palace, you're also starting to be humbled by the greatness. But it's a different type of humility. You're still in yourself. You're still feeling your experiences. You're still very conscious of how you feel about things. It's just you're feeling a little small. But when you walk into the, suddenly they open up the door and they push you in, boom, in, and you're there, and suddenly you're muted, you can't talk, you can't think, you don't even know what's going on, you don't even know that you're, it's like shocks you. Af al pi she'omid likanes miyad. Even if you're going to go, when you're standing outside of the king's room, even if you're about to go in, you're still conscious of self. V'yej bo b'chines ha'bitl m'mitziyasai. You are very nullified. But it's only external because you're nullified from your own hispashtos, from your own expansion, hagasus, and the coarseness, but not of the very identity of your being. Not in a true bittul. And so will be understood above in the radiance of chachma. It's called the holy radiance. The orin sof isn't chachma, so chachma is totally, chachma has no sense of self. Because it's total nullification. And there's two levels. One of the higher level is chachma of atzilus. Over there it says he and his life forces are one. The atzmi, and over there the bittul is perfect, the nullification is true and essential. Because God Himself is revealed in that space, and there cannot be anything that feels itself. But in the lower world of creation, where there's a lack of revelation of God, and there's a much more of a thickening of consciousness, that says from there we'll separate. The bitlo in the lower world of Bria, which is already a world of separation, is only a humility, but not a complete abnegation of not know of a self dissolvement. Doesn't exist in Bria. Kamayal derech mashal, Bria is like an example. You're readying yourself to go in, but you didn't go in yet. Misha oymed likanes. Someone was about to go in. Vadayin loy nichnas, they didn't enter yet. Vadayin lamev. Vizau sha'amar achab chenes tikkun anal. After the tikkun that we spoke earlier, and everything is prepared, meir b'malchus, it's shining in malchus, b'chinas yichud elyon shebachachma d'atzilus. The supernal unity of chachma d'atzilus is shining down onto malchus. And then malchus, the shechina, becomes not just humbled, but she becomes lost completely. Ach b'chinas bitla yash b'vad, No, she's not. The lights of Atzilus are beginning to come into her, but ach bebchenes bitla yesh b'lvad. But it's like standing outside still. Koidim shetikanes l'Atzilus, before she enters the world of Atzilus. Shesham bebchenes habitla amiti, in Atzilus itself will be total nullification. And that's why it says, V'i ishtara, she's standing alone, she doesn't have any more the klipot that are thick and dense and create the self-importance. Now she's removed that, and she's in the highest level of bittul she's possibly can attain before she enters Atzilus. In the unity of the holy radiance of Chachma, but Chachma, the way it's influencing still someone who's outside of it. She's left over in the unity, but only that, and then she becomes crowned with many crowns to the Holy King. That's as far as my eyes are allowing me to talk, because my eyes are shutting and shutting down on me, literally. And I'm going, and it's going, and I'm going, maybe if I do it 10 times. Okay. Gevald, pretty good. Okay, let this be the biggest Shabbos. As we know, everybody's...